Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, and please excuse any noise. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasyam Vai Shruyamanayam Krishne Paramapurushe Bhaktir Utpadyate Pumsa Shoka Moha Vayabha. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feelings of for devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearlessness. Purport, there are various senses of which the ear is the most effective. This sense works even when a man is deep asleep. One can protect himself from the hands of an enemy while awake, or while asleep, one is protected by the ear only. The importance of hearing is mentioned here in connection with attaining the highest perfection of life, namely getting free from three material pangs. Everyone is full of lamentation at every moment. He is after the mirage of illusory things, and he's always afraid of his supposed enemy. These are the primary symptoms of the material disease. And it is definitely suggested herein that simply by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. As soon as this is affected, and as soon as the symptoms of material disease appear, Sri Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect Personality of Godhead in his statement, the all-perfect Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is clearly confirmed. Maybe put on the air condition a little bit now, okay? Yeah, not too heavy. The ultimate result of devotional service is to develop genuine love for the Supreme Personality. Love is a word which is often used in relationship with man and woman. And love is the only word that can properly use to indicate the relationship between Lord Krishna and the living entities. Living entities are mentioned as Prakriti in the Bhagavad Gita. And in Sanskrit, Prakriti is a feminine object. The Lord is always described as Parama Purusha, or the Supreme Male Personality. Thus, the affection between the Lord and the living entities is something like that between the male and the female. Therefore, the term love of Godhead is quite appropriate. Loving devotional service to the Lord begins with hearing about the Lord. There's no difference between the Lord and the subject matter heard about him. The Lord is absolute in all respects, and thus there is no difference between him and the subject matter heard about him. Therefore, hearing about him means immediate contact with him by the process of vibration of the transcendental sound. And the transcendental sound is so effective that it acts at once by removing all material. Someone who just got on has to mute their phone. And who's driving? as mentioned before, a living entity develops. You know, when I'm on my computer, I can tell who it is. But someone has to mute their phone who just got on. Therefore, hearing about him means immediate contact with him by the process of vibration of the transcendental sound. And the transcendental sound is so effective that it acts at once by removing all material affection mentioned above. As mentioned before, a living entity develops a sort of complexity by material association. And the illusory engagement of the material body is accepted as the actual fact. Under such false complexity, the living being under different categories of life becomes illusioned in different ways. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and I'll read the rest of the purport later. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Manchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Yankee Stadium. We're in the Bronx. I'm on my way to the program, so we just passed 160 First Street. All right, this particular story, and I'm hopefully I'll get more expert at the context, but Suta Goswami is still narrating. This is actually the last verse of his narration of the history of the Bhagavatam, the first time it's really spoken. By Narada, well, the sage of Namasharanya asked six questions. The last question was, where will knowledge or religion be maintained now that Krishna left the planet? And the answer was, it's the Bhagavatam. I heard and I realized it. Then they asked questions about the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam means Narada Vyas Sukadeva Maharaj Prickett. So it asked about Vyas, how he got the inspiration. And now we're finishing up that story because after Narada explained to Vyas, Vyas means editor, Vyasadeva means the godly editor. After he explained to him what terrible roads were on, but anyway, hopefully they get more smooth. After he explained to him his deficiency and told him that he hadn't sufficiently glorified Krishna, because what was the purpose of the Vedas? The purpose of the Vedas is liberation, and liberation means to get over the self centered conception of life. And it's a strategy, just like when you want to enlighten someone, it's a strategy. What do you tell them first? Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto? You're not the body? How to live properly? So it's a strategy, and the strategy depends upon the person you're speaking to. So he's speaking to he's speaking to a whole, is this going different than the last way we went? What?
I think it is.
Yeah, the last way we went, okay, let it go this way, but the last way we went was so much better. You remember? That's okay. I mean, you're here, you're here. So, it's Sunday morning, so it doesn't matter. So, he told him that the strategy has to be, for many, many reasons, a very, very direct and simple process that has basically the singular qualification that is the most simple and difficult at the same time, which is to surrender to God and open your heart and to give up your ego, which is the purpose that you're in the material world. And you do that by accepting the authority of God and hearing about his pastimes and accepting that that position that you covet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is taken already. And it's not only taken, it's not taken by an amorphous mass or an energy where you can still keep your ego and think you're one with everything or, you know, but no, Parama Purusha, it is a person. And that position is taken. It's a very simple process. So you should directly glorify Krishna. And by hearing that, by people hearing this, they don't have to read the whole Bhagavatam. Wherever they read it, it's non-different than Krishna. The message is there. And especially if you read Prabhupada's books, he'll make sure that that direct message is wherever you get it. And it's not only a message, the medium is the message. The medium itself is non-different than Krishna. And you should figure out, Vyasadeva, how you should present this. And you have to have realization about that. So you better get realization about that. Of course, you're going to have to communicate something that's very, very deep. And you're going to have to make it very, very simple. So you can get realization about that. And then he told about his life. And I'll show you how it worked. I was just this little kid. And this is how it worked for me. And it worked for me. And I was, you know, the son of a maidservant. Somehow or other, I don't know where his father was. And it worked for me. And I became Narada Muni. And here I am. And I'm, you know, this elevated soul. It's all by this message. So the sages of Namasharanya are hearing this intriguing story and this incredible glorification of the Bhagavatam, which they're going to want to hear. So then they ask, basically, and I'm giving a summary, and, you know, so what did Vyasa do? And Bhadarayana. Ayana means the place of these trees. There's this sage. What did this Bhadarayana, the one who performed austerities in the forest to realize this message, what did he do after he heard from his guru? Because that was the question initially. How did he get his inspiration? So now they want to know what he did with that inspiration. What did he do? And what did he do is that he immediately left. He immediately left for the at Narada Muni game, he immediately took up the message. He didn't wait. What does it strike when the iron's hot? And in his ashram, it said Swayam, by himself, even though he had so many students that would come to study with him. So many students that came to study with him. He went to a quiet part of the ashram. He went by himself, and he went in, and how did he, and then it's described what he did. Well, how did he meditate? How did he focus his mind on Krishna? He did it by devotional service. So what does that mean? It means he paid his obeisances. He chanted Krishna's name. Maybe he did kirtan. He meditated on Krishna. This is how he focused the mind to get realization. And remember, realization comes by concentration and focus. I can't mention this enough times. Some people ask, how do you get taste in devotional service? You're not going to get taste unless you experience your relationship with Krishna, which means to feel your relationship with Krishna. And you're not going to feel your relationship with Krishna unless you can concentrate on him and experience him. And that takes concentration over a period of time without any interruption, and bhakti yogena manasi, samyak pranayate malay, and in the right mood of sacrifice and giving yourself in devotion. That's how you stay connected to Krishna, in meditation. And then he had this realization, and he saw Krishna, and he saw Krishna's energies. And what did he see? He saw reality. And then by seeing reality and experiencing reality by bhakti, he understood what the problem was and what the solution was. And the problem is people are suffering due to things that are superfluous to them, due to an identification to enjoying control, which reflects the consciousness on the body, which is transforming. And that transformation of the body is suffering due to the intense identification with it. But the suffering is superfluous. It's not actually happening in the soul. Like death does not happen in the soul, but we experience death. So, and he said, okay, someone is in a car and you got to mute your phone. So what happened is, so Sutta is explaining this, and he explains that if you simply give, oral reception to this book, then what would happen is utpadyate bhakti. What will come up in the heart is bhakti, simply by giving oral reception. And what comes up in the heart what will sprout in the heart simply by hearing this book, simply by doing what we are doing, once all your problems, your lamentation and your fears and the illusion, it will be dissipated. Why? Because the problem is those desires, not what is external to you. That is the problem. The problem is not wanting that feeling. Our whole problem is not wanting to be a devotee. All sin is not wanting to be a devotee. Because you don't want to be a devotee, you're in the illusion that you're not. And that's what the cause of suffering is. And that's what the cause of suffering is. So what will happen? Your desire will be changed. And what will be the change of that desire? You'll want to be what you are, which is a devotee of Krishna. That is the solution to all our problems. And we can see it. Our problem now is because we're not attracted to Krishna. And therefore, we don't perform devotional service. We don't chant hearing about Krishna. We have other priorities that are anartha, as mentioned. Anartha means basically unhappiness because it's has no value to the self. So he says, simply by giving this oral reception, then your problems are finished. And then he said, moha, boya, shoka. So lamentation means the problems due to your thoughts of the past. And boya means fear, your problems due to the what you're worried about in the future. The problem is not now. Even if we think of it right now, we have so many problems. But are they right now, those problems? Are our problems right now? Right now, we're okay. But we fear what's going to happen. And we're angry about what has happened, what has happened. And we fear what will happen in the future. But there's no problems. Right now, we don't have problems. And it's funny that moha is in between the lamentation and the fear. So it says what happens is the Bhagavatam sprouts up in the heart and you develop a desire to serve Krishna and the illusion goes. And when the illusion goes, shoka, moha, vaya. You get what's in the center. It's like an army and there's a king in the center. You get the king, you got the whole army. So you get the illusion, everything is finished. And and it's very interesting because initially it said, Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranayate Mala, Apashyat Purusham Purnam. It said Purusham Purnam. Who is Purusham Purnam, the Supreme Person? But different people have different conceptions about who the Supreme Person is. And then it says, Satvata. In relationship to the Supreme Truth, adokshaja, it's transcendental. The demigods are not transcendental. They're within the modes of material nature. They're not transcendental. But still, there can be some confusion. So then in this verse, it says, Panama, Purusha. Here it says, Panama Purusha. It says, unto the Supreme Personality, but still there may be confusion. But here it says Krishna, directly to Krishna. And it's this process, and we can't stress that enough. I see also in coming to Krishna consciousness, I'm sorry for the noise, we're on the worst road in the world. It's called a BQE. It's like the BQE. it sounds like a new pronoun that you identify someone's gender identity or something, the BQE or something. But so it can't be stressed enough. And in my own experience of how people are advancing, it's by the process that's given in our Shastra, by Narada, to Vyas, to you know, the Parampara. It's hearing the Bhagavatam. Thus the Praeshu of Bhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavat. These verses, basically, what it's explaining, it's showing how the Bhagavatam works and recommending what the Bhagavatam is. So, you know, this fad that's going around ISKCON of reading Prabhupada's books, it's a good fad. Because if you do it regularly, some people are just reading the verses, some people are reading a verse in purport a day. Some people I know are reading 41 pages a day. Takes about a half hour, 45 minutes. Every year they complete the Bhagavatam. And I was thinking myself, you know, in the when, you know, that straight edge preaching was going so strong and people were coming, there's always a point where people are coming, but they're not moving forward. They've just have socially accepted something that's fun and they like the people. And always the thing that moves them to the next step is when they start reading the books. And the thing that will move us to the next step is when we read the books or read them more. So he's explaining now how this is done. And I'll finish reading. So, as mentioned above, a living entity develops a sort of complexity by material association, and the illusory encagement of the material body is accepted as an actual fact. Under such false complexity, the living beings under different categories of life becomes illusioned in different ways. Even in the most developed stage of human life, the same illusion prevails in the form of many isms and divides the living, loving relation with the Lord. Wait. Even the most developed stage of human life, the same illusion prevails in the form of many isms and divides the loving relation with the Lord, and therefore divides the loving relationship between man and man. That's a common. You accept God, then we're all in a brotherhood. And you don't accept God, we identify in so many particular groups that divide us. You know, the next Monday morning greeting tomorrow is going to be called Betrayed. But I already started the next one for after that. And I wanted to write something on cultural appropriation, which is a reality, I think, in a limited scope that's been extended too far. That's how I would say. I mean, it's a very limited scope. You know, people go and they steal from indigenous people their own stuff, and you know, and they use it in various ways and not intended for, and they make money for it, etc. So maybe there's some realm for it. So I'm thinking I should write something about this, and I told you how I write articles. I have no choice because I don't have time to come up with topics. the first thing that comes into my mind, it's on the pen, and I start thinking about writing it. I forgot how this came up. So I was visiting Hartford. It was a very wonderful visit with, and Derek drove me, so it's great. I can go in one day, Niranjan Swami, Pyari Mohan. And if you know Pyari Mohan, he has an incredible sense of humor. You know, he like, and I love it. So, I mean, I like people have sense of humor, and I like to make jokes, etc. So he really likes Monday morning greetings. And he told me, you know, you have a real gift. He said, you have a real gift, how you, he said, you have a real gift, you know, how you draw people in, etc. He said, what's your next topic? I said, cultural appropriation, right? So he looked at me, he said, cultural procreation? And we laughed, you know. But then, this is a fact, and I went to bed the next night, and I never use an alarm clock, and I never take too much sleep. It's just the way it works. So there's a period where I get up, and I just kind of lay in bed for a little while, see if I can get some more rest, and it doesn't work. So I'm in like a half stupor. And then I start to write the Monday morning greetings in my head, and I thought a great title, people like branding, is cultural procreation. Because part of our culture and our tradition is to reproduce and share what we have. That is our tradition. And if people are going to criticize us for doing that, they're actually imposing their views on our own. They're not allowing us to express in our own ways what our culture is. Pritiviti achiyati nagara. We're supposed to spread kirtan all over the world. Prabhupada wanted a cultural revolution. And in fact, our conception is that there is a spiritual culture that's more or less universal too. I'll tell you this story. You know, people know my mother, 98 years old, bless her heart. I maybe 10 years ago when she was young. So I have a older cousin that lives in, I have an older cousin that lives in Brooklyn. And it's my father's elder sister's eldest son. So it's my eldest cousin. So he must be already 74, 75 years old. But he was a very simple person. And when my aunt died many, many years ago, she left enough money so her children would never have to work a day again in her life, their lives, and left them with a house. And his house in Brooklyn, it was two family. But it must have had at least 10 or 12 rooms minimum. 10 or 12 rooms minimum. But somehow or other, he squandered his money. Somehow he would buy collectibles. He was a nice guy. He was a Scrabble genius. He would give money away to people who needed it. You know, he was a very kind of simple guy. Not autistic, but maybe something like that. So he had no other relatives left. His sister was in the Himalayas, Ma Seva Bharti. So my father had died, his uncle. So my mother was the only person. So she went to solve the problem because he was going to lose his house. Because he used up all his money. So they shared a driveway with some Orthodox Jews. And the Orthodox Jews were afraid that he would sell it to someone else who used the driveway because he never had a car. So the Orthodox Jews wanted to buy it. And my mother went over there and made an arrangement. You know, that they'd buy the house with a discounted rate, but that my cousin could live there rent-free for the rest of his life. But while my mother was there, she started promoting me. So these Orthodox Jews became so interested in me that they wanted to meet me. This is a true story. So I went in to meet these Orthodox Jews, right? They weren't Hasidic, but they were Orthodox Jews and very wealthy. These houses in Flatbush are quite big, but somehow some of them share driveways like that because there weren't many cars when they built them. So what happened was they were very nice. I went into their house. They had just had their sukkah. There was some kind of festival. And they're very beautiful people. And they were very interested. They treated me like a rabbi. And they were asking questions. And I was answering questions. And they were just fascinated. So anywhere you can find parking here, no, once you cross the street is good. And just drive around until you find it. Okay? Because I'm kind of fine. Yeah, just go. So, because I'm very early, I'm giving. Can you make this? No. That guy's getting out too, right?
I think so.
So we'll wait. So what happened is, and you'll see how this is connected, and it's very, very interesting. What happened is their son walked in. And, you know, he had like a suit on and a tie. He was a very handsome guy. And you're going to say he must have been in his 30s and he's probably running his father's business. And he looked at me with such disgust, right? This Jewish guy sitting there in robes. Right? And he looked at me and he said to me, he said, "Why do you dress like that?" Right? And I looked at him and I said, "Because Moses did." I said, "Why do you dress like George Bush?" And I saw even the parents were. And anything the guy said, I cut him down. And I just thought like that, you know, what is cultural appropriation in one sense? At one sense, there was probably a culture that we shared around the world. You know, I mean, a lot of the values and according to our tradition, according to our tradition, the world was once all India. So, I'm thinking of that because, you know, sometimes people have, you know, there's truths that become ridiculous when they're overextended. Like there's a truth of renunciation, but if that means that you hate women as a class, or you put down people who are married. You know, so it's truths that become overextended or passions. So if somehow, let me see if I can get back to here where the Bhagavatam was. So he's saying these isms divide people. So to share culture creates the unity that people want. If you want to keep each culture separate and you can't share anything, I think it becomes less likely that there'll be a kind of unity. Right. So there's a certain, so that's what Prabhupada's saying here. Therefore, the politicians' peace conferences, the politicians want a peaceful situation, be man and man and nation and nation. But at the same time, because of too much attachment to material domination, there's illusion and fearfulness. Therefore, the politicians' peace conferences cannot bring about peace in society. It can only be done by hearing the subject matter described in Srimad Bhagavatam about the personality of God and Sri Krishna. So what's actually going to bring that peace about? If there's unity on the principle by which there is unity, which is not a separate religion, not a separate, but one religion. And what's that religion? We're part of God. We're meant for his service. Not sectarian conceptions. So he's Prabhupada saying that this is actually, Prabhupada's very practical now. This is not just for individuals. This will actually create peace. It can only be done by hearing the subject matter described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of God at Sri Krishna. The foolish politicians may go on holding peace and summit conferences for hundreds of years, but they will fail to achieve success. Until we reach the stage of reestablishing our lost relationship with Krishna, the illusion of accepting the body as the self will prevail. Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Will prevail. As for the validity of Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are hundreds of thousands of evidences from revealed scriptures, and there are hundreds of thousands of evidence from personal experience of devotees in various places like Vrindavan, Navadvip, and Puri. Even in the Kaumudi dictionary, the synonyms of Krishna are given as the son of Yasoda and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parambrahma. The conclusion is that simply by hearing the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, one can have direct connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and thereby one can attain the highest perfection of life by transcending worldly miseries, illusion, and fearfulness. These are practical tests for one who is actually given submissive hearing to the readings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Boy, a couple questions. I don't know what to ask. Okay.
Ask one, and you can call me next week, and I'll answer all your questions. Okay?
Okay, let's see what to ask. Oh, okay. The passions. You said when we overextend renunciation, right? That's passion. How is that passion? It's funny because somebody just asked me what is, you know, about this word passion yesterday.
Well, I look at it more like you have a passion for something. And when you have a passion for something, you become less broad-minded, basically. You know, you're in, like, let's say someone has a passion for soccer. Maybe you've known someone who has a passion for soccer, right?
And I think I do, yes.
And that becomes the only thing, right? That becomes their whole life. You know, that becomes everything. You know, okay. Or you have a so that type of thing. And then you could lose a perspective. So I'm just saying, as you see, that our philosophy is balance. It's sambandhagyan. You know, there's a balance between attachment and passion. They're both truths. Attachment is also a truth, because you need to satisfy your attachments also. Like someone may need to get married. That may be a truth, you know. So that's what it means. And sometimes you'll find that people have a particular truth, but it becomes imbalanced. you know, they want to become successful. That may be a truth, you know, we need to accomplish something, but then, you know, you give up, you know, you neglect your family, you know, or whatever it is. So we have different passions, and I think we overextend them, okay?
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hello, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Lee.
Okay. Hi, Bo. Lee. And someone else said hello there in the background. Who is that?
Hello, Maharaj Dorita.
Oh, Dorita. Dorita,
yes.
I just got a message that you had a very successful international yoga day, and that you made it with Kirtan, and so many people came. Well,
yeah, it was beautiful.
Well, thank you for doing that. That's really great. Really great.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to hear that. Good.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Who else would like to say hello?
Sebastian Maharaj. Hello. Sebastian.
Sebastian Hamanata.
Wow, Haribo.
Haribo.
Okay, very nice. We should touch base soon, okay?
Yes, please, Maharaj.
Next week.
Okay.
I'll be at my place after Monday. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. John and Katie here.
Wow, okay. So we're on for Tuesday. Okay, right.
Yes, Maharaj.
Hey, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajaraja.
Jai, Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Good. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Kishori Radha.
Okay. And Priya?
Priya, say hi. Say louder.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Joseph Gopinath here.
Okay, I guess I'll see all you guys, right? Today.
Yes, yeah. We're on our way there now.
Okay, great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Eugenio and Gloria.
Oh, Haribo. So you'll be coming where I'm coming now soon, right?
Yes, Maharaj, this week.
Okay, well, I invited them to come upstate. I'm doing a retreat. And to come up for one of the days, but you'll work that out with them. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Krishna
Maharaj, it's Bree. Okay, Bree, Haribo. We'll see you today too?
Yep, see you soon.
Okay, great. Who else?
And Sri Gandharvika.
Sri Gandharvika. We'll see you next month. Okay, Haribo. Good. Anybody else? Okay, we can end the program now today. We did a good 50 minutes. Thank you all so much. I'm realizing when I'm speaking that I have to do something more with the Bhagavatam. I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe even 15 minutes a day, WhatsApp group or something, because I enjoy reading it and sharing it. So let's see what can be done. Okay, anybody else? Okay, Haribo.